Blog Talk Radio.
There she is. I didn't think she was going to come on for a second and say Blog Talk Radio. Happy Tuesday, everyone. And you know what that means. And the giggle in the background gives it away every time. But this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete, number one, and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Kalen Patterson?
A Mack truck through ice cream, sugar.
Check us out at p4pmuscle.com, and now let's talk. I am Desiree, and he is Kalen. Lend me your ear, hashtag chocolate squirrel, O'Kellen O'Patterson. Did I get them all in there?
You got them all in there.
And together, we are P4P Real Talk. O'Kellen. O'Kellen O'Patterson, how are you doing tonight?
I'm feeling hashtag team awesome. Yeah. Yeah,
really good. Hashtag team awesome. You cannot beat that. And you know, I bet you guys, have you guys ever wondered where we came up with that hashtag? It's like, it's like, I don't think we've ever shared that story, Kalen, but it's like so many things that with us that just kind of pop up out of nowhere and then they kind of stick. But if any of you are familiar with Bitmojis, they're pretty much like avatars, except I think more fun. I don't. Are avatars even a thing anymore? I think Bitmoji kind of replaced that. But anyway, so the Bitmoji,
yes,
and I do have to say, Kalen's looks just like him. He has the dreads and everything, and glasses, looks just like him. So if you all have a Bitmoji, you guys are going to have to connect with Kalen so you can see what his looks like. But there's this thing with Bitmoji, and you can actually use them through Facebook and even Snapchat, where if you're chatting with someone or messaging with someone, that if you send them a Bitmoji, sometimes they will, like, pair your Bitmojis together so they show up in, like, one meme, if you will. And so there was one that said Team Awesome, and we were both in it. And that's where it came, became a hashtag, and it just kind of stuck, and there you have it. We are P4P Real Talk, hashtag Team Awesome, Desiree and Kalen. And now you have the story, and I know you guys were dying to hear that one. I just know it.
Yes,
and if you weren't, I'm sorry. You can pretend. You can pretend like you were dying to hear that one. And there you have it.
Okay,
so
Bill,
today
then,
is...
why wait so long to hear that? It's been years.
What did he say? What did Bill say?
Why did you wait so long to say that? It's been years.
I don't know, Bill. I don't know. I don't know.
It
just popped in my head today. I'm sorry, what did he say?
I said he's feeling kind of cheated. He had to
wait
2 years.
Dude, don't feel cheated. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hey, Bill, do you have a Bitmoji? That's what I want to know right now.
He's looking it up in the apps. He's on it.
Okay.
I think he's got a Galaxy.
Yeah, it is in the App Store. It is in the App Store.
Okay.
You'll have to download it. So that answered my question. He doesn't, but I have a feeling in the next hour he will have one. So I want you to post that on the Midwest Muscle page, Bill. I want to see your Bitmoji. And anybody else, go to Midwest Muscle and post it. We want to see your Bitmojis, and we'll try to get out there and post ours as well. But with that being said... So today is December 12th, and I think it's December 12th. You know, I get confused sometimes, guys. And I just can't believe how fast this year has absolutely gone by. And so speaking of the year, that leads me to the what?
I said, I remember we were just ready for you, getting you ready for the Nashville Southern States Classic, and now it's December.
Yes. Yes.
What the heck?
Which is crazy. I don't know. But where I'm headed with this is that, you know, we always have a year in review starting the first week in January of the top 10 listened to shows of the year, of 2017.
Okay, hold on.
So if you...
Hold on. Because we regular listeners, and they're going, you know, it's not fair that you posted those videos later. Does that count with what you're talking about?
Well, no, the videos on Midwest Muscle do not count in our top. Well, okay, I take that back. So historically, we've been around for 2 years. We're heading into our third year in 2018. So every year for the past 2 years, we've done a top 10 of the most listened to podcasts for the year. Now, the end of this year, we are going to do a little something different, and we're going to count down the top 5 most watched interviews posted to Midwest Muscle.
Wow.
So I know, you know, some of them are posted later in the year. Few of them are lost. Sometimes, you know, and they always correlate, or they should correlate with the dates of the show. So I realize, you know, some videos have longer and some shows have longer to be heard or watched than others. But get out there, hit the archives, start watching, start listening, start sharing with a friend. If there's one you really like, share it, boost those numbers, do whatever you got to do. But all your votes count, all your downloads count, your listens count, your views count. And so beginning of January, we're going to be sharing all those details with you, the most popular interviews and interviews via the podcast and via video. We're going to be counting all of those down the beginning of the year. Woo! A lot going on the next couple of weeks, so Kellen.
So here we go. We're already getting some bias up here because they're already saying Justin and Tenica better win.
Well, then you bad guys better get to listening and you better get
That's
to hearing.
Right.
We have nothing to do. We have nothing to do with how the numbers play out. We just report the numbers. Other than that, it's all up to you guys. It's all in your court. So speaking of which, even tonight's interview has a chance. We've had December interviews make the top 10, believe it or not. It just all depends on how widely the interviews get shared. So there you have it. But we have had December interviews make our top 10 countdown, at least for the podcast. So with that, Kaylin, let the folks know who we're talking to tonight.
Mr. Murphy. We have a champion that just kind of basically, I guess because we follow the sport, he wasn't as not as big a surprise, but he was a big surprise to many of the competitors that weren't familiar with him, stay up and coming. And he kind of just came like a big storm and just kept on rolling. And I was just amazed at his consistency because basically it didn't matter what show or who showed up. He was still bringing his best and he was still placing very well. And I think he shocked a lot of people in that because he was so consistent because they figured, okay, next show he's going to be falling off. So I would rake him up there with Sam in the bodybuilding side because he was that consistent and that cut up when he was showing up. So it was really a pleasure to see him. So we're going to basically have Eric introduce himself and basically give his background and we'll get this show started.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Normally all my kids take up all my Wi-Fi internet, so I had to make sure I was good before we start. So I appreciate the comments and everything. You know, it's extremely humble. So my name is Eric Murphy. I am 32 years old. I'm married, 4 kids. And I started my bodybuilding. Yes, I see. That's what I was saying with my internet connection. They got phones, tablets, and YouTube on TVs going. So
I feel your pain. I don't have 4, but my 3 always have every internet connection going that they can.
Everything.
Wow.
Yep.
I can only sympathize.
Let's see. So I started bodybuilding 2014. I won my IP Pro card back in last year at the USA Super Pro. And then officially just kind of this year just kind of picked and planned shows to start my IP Pro. And luckily, the judges was in my favor. Everybody I kind of went up against was top-notch. So it's pretty humbling.
That's not luck. I appreciate your humbleness, but that's not luck. It's what got you winning. That's a lot of hard work, sacrifice, and dedication.
Yeah, I think more so the hard work came from not really raiding all my kids' snack drawers. It was like the hardest thing that I had. You know, that was probably throughout my whole prep, like not raiding their snack jars and their like lunch stuff was the hardest. But luckily, I got a smart wife, you know, and she just started picking them snacks that like I don't enjoy through prep.
That's the trick.
Yeah, so it made it not so enticing to not. Try to touch or open their drawer when it's like some type of weird, like orange Pop Tarts or something that's in there. So I told her I had to thank her like every other day I opened their drawer and I saw something I ain't like.
I don't like it. I don't like it. They can have it all they want. All right. So, you know, and actually I have to confess, folks, that's a strategy that I employ in my house as well, because we do have a snack bin, and usually I keep in it applesauces, granola bars. Now, granted, I get these things are still processed and yeah, I got it. But as far as other things I could be in there, they are the lesser evil that my kids will actually still eat. So I have that, but I do tend to put in there things that I do not like. That way I'm not tempted. So I feel Eric on that one. Now, the first time I met Eric, and Kaylin, I don't know if you two had met prior, but the first time that I saw you was at the KC Natural Classic, and mm-hmm. you did phenomenal at that show. You won your class there, and I remember I was just blown away that you had traveled all the way from, okay, I hope I got this one right, but Oklahoma?
Correct, yes.
Yay! Woo! 2 points. 2 points for me there. So, just surprised that you would come that far to compete, but you did that not only once, you did it twice. And so I guess where I'm going with this is kind of give us a recap of where you've been this year and how you placed. Our listeners are always already wanting to know. Linda, in fact, has asked us that question as well. So Linda, stop reading my mind, because that was going to be my first question, but now it's going to be our first question together. So in 2017, where did you compete and how did you do?
So I went to I did the Chicago, the Windy City Pro, back
yep.
in August. Back in August, and I took first in that, along with Best Poser. I took September off, and then I went to Minnesota for the International Pro, where I saw you guys at and took first. And then I did the IP Worlds back in November, which I took third.
And that was like every show you've been to, I don't know if you've been picking them out simply because of the competition or because it's been so tough, or if you basically just had those shows planned all along. But I was really impressed with how you held your own on stage with those guys, because you've basically been stepping on stage with stacked decks every time you stepped on stage, which is great, you know, especially on the pro level. It's got to be a great feeling, but when you're in backstage and you're looking around, that's got to be like a nerve-wracking feeling.
It's not really. I guess due to like Instagram and social media and everything, I kind of get to talking to a lot of the competitors, so I kind of got to know a lot of them like before even going backstage. So getting backstage was more so along the lines of, like, we were, like, building friendships pretty much backstage.
Okay.
As opposed to, like, really sizing everybody up. We was pretty much, like, just talking and, like, tweaking each other poses and stuff like that, helping each other with pump-ups and making sure people was getting their tans and everything, so which was completely different from when I did, like, NPC. It was more along the lines of, like, not really too many people was talking when I did NPC, like 2013 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
But every show I've done this year, especially with the pros, been a good experience.
And it really shows at the world, because, you know, you had a really good camaraderie going, not just on stage, but off stage. And after the show as well, when we were taking pictures, I mean, that's got to be, like, a great feeling where it's a family-type oriented atmosphere where you can basically just hang out and be at peace, even, you know, that even though you're competing.
Yeah, it was. I think our hardest decision was, like, really trying to figure out exactly where we wanted to eat, because everybody was starving, like, right after the show. So, like literally, like, 2 weeks before the show, we, like, at least 10 of us picked out a spot to go to, like, right after Playsons and everything. And then, like, 3 days before the shows, people started popping up with different ideas. And then backstage, nobody could come up with a solid idea where we wanted to go eat. So that was probably, like, the toughest part. Other than standing on stage for 35 minutes, quarter turning, I think that was the hardest part, was figuring out. And then when we got to the restaurant, it was a barbecue spot. It was like a 2-hour wait, so we couldn't even sit there and eat anyways.
Oh, wow.
Man, and I will say, at ITE Worlds, they worked every class. I mean, I think the shortest time I maybe saw somebody on stage was 20 minutes, and that was the shortest time. I mean, you all had to work it the entire time. And I'm not sure if we referenced this earlier. I think we did, but if we didn't, I just want to go ahead and repeat that Eric is a men's physique competitor. So I know the description setting up the show set that out there, but for anyone who didn't see our emails that let folks know who we're going to be hosting on a given night, and if we didn't mention it earlier, that's the category that he is dominating in right now. And I do like the description that Kaylin gave earlier, though, about, you know, comparing him to Sam Okunola, who, by the way, just got engaged. So congratulations to him and his new fiance. Yeah. But, you know, you just have been very consistent with your placings, especially for this being really your first year, you know, hitting the pro stage show after show. So congratulations on that. And I do have to giggle a little bit, because earlier Kaylin and Eric were going back and forth on Facebook where he said Eric's chest could just be used as a billboard. And if you haven't seen Eric, so you'll have to check out the social media, the Facebook post we have, but you've got this broad, expansive chest and this little itty-bitty waist. So I'm going to turn this over to Eric and Kaylin at the moment to kind of explain for folks how the physique category differs from bodybuilding, and which attributes do you think are best suited for that particular category for any folks who are out there that either aren't familiar with physique or might be on the fence of whether or not they are more a physique competitor versus a bodybuilding competitor?
Good point. Okay. Eric, go ahead.
So from my years of competing, it's always been, you know, small waist, nice broad shoulders, nice full chest, detail. Symmetry is like one of the most important parts, but with physique, everything, I believe, plays a part, from posing to the way you smile to your haircut. Everything has to be in line and perfect. So that's really my kind of take on it. Try to be as small a waist as possible and as wide as possible as you can be.
Yeah. I'll take it from there, Eric, because I know what your modesty you're getting. It's like you're trying not to brag about yourself, so I'll do the bragging for you. Now, what I've noticed about the men's physique is there's definitely stage presence. but it also has to be a personality that matches the presence. And I think that's what a lot of people get confused on, is where they're smiling, but it's a manufactured smile, and it's not really fun. And you can tell, and Des has been a judge, so she can speak on this as well. Well, you can tell when they're not enjoying that moment, they're not enjoying the time up there, they're too worried or too stressed, and it shows. And when they're doing the different poses, you have to be comfortable, you have to be at some kind of balance and peace when you're doing it, and you really got to enjoy what you're doing in men's physique, because, you know, where bodybuilders can get away with that frown in some of the posing because they're really trying to put some emphasis on the muscles, men's physique has to go both ways with the smile and also the intensity to show that they're having meaning and purpose while they're up there. The separation mm-hmm. with the from the men's bodybuilding is basically like what he said. It's a much more full muscle, a little bit more size, and a lot more intense personality on stage. And, you know, we've seen this, Des and I have seen it a couple of times, where a bodybuilder was on a men's physique stage and they stand out like sore thumbs, but not in a good way, in a much much worse way, because their personality is geared more toward of the bodybuilding intense basic personality, and it takes away so much from the men's physique posing when they do that. Des, did you have anything?
And I would just add also a difference between the two categories is legs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and part of it is because in men's physique, they're wearing board shorts, so we don't really get to see the quads or their hams. We basically see their legs from the knee down. So you definitely want to have well-developed calves, where in bodybuilding, you have to have, you know, the full package from the toe up. And I don't say that to mean that, you know, physique competitors don't have well-developed legs. I'm sure that they do. We just don't get to see them. That part of it is not judged. And just to tag on to what both Kaylin and Eric were saying, if the bikini girls are the sass of the female categories, that's kind of how male physique is, as they were saying, with the smiling and the stage presence. So they're a little bit of the more sassy category for the men. So I think in my mind, that's something else that I would throw in there to differentiate
the two.
But there's definitely
for like having a GQ model and then having the bodyguard behind him. Yeah, that would be kind of the comparison. We're both in the same building, but we're definitely not doing the same job.
There you go. But the physique competitors, they do still have a lot of muscle. Bodybuilders come in a little bit bigger all over, but there's still a lot of muscle going on in physique. So I definitely don't want to get the impression that it's not, because there is. And if you check out the pictures, yep, that's right. You will definitely see that. So, you know, guys, so if you feel like you've got your sights on bodybuilding, but you want to grow a little bit, you know, you might be in a good spot for physique because you're not quite bodybuilding just yet. I'd say try it out. Get your feet wet on the stage. You might find that you like it. And that's your fit. You know, you never know. So I just say, you know, try it out. Try it out and see what happens. That's my encouragement for you guys there. So, Eric, we have a question coming in from Jake, and he wants to know, where do you find the balance with 4 kids, work, and being a husband? Where do you find time for your wife in that equation, too?
No sleep whatsoever. So, during my last prep, I worked like a typical, like, behind-the-desk type of job, so 7:30 to 4:30. So normally I would get it in anywhere between 4:30 in the morning, and then like a quick session right after work normally. But now they got me on a mid shift, which is hard to try to figure out what type of schedule I'm going to do so that I can still spend time with the family and then my wife. So it's good that it's the off season, so So I'm still trying to play around with how I'm going to do prep. But it's normally just waking up and sacrificing my time to go to the gym before work and while they're asleep so that I can spend time and do homework or whatever the case might be. But like all people, we slip up. We don't get up. We don't go to the gym. So a lot of times you'll see me posting, like, videos, like, on my treadmill at the house going over homework with the kids or, you know, if I'm prepping my meals, it's spending time with the girls, teaching them how to bake cookies or something like that. So you got to kind of find time, make time.
Yeah. It has to be that balance, and I'm glad you found a way to do that. And it's very vital and very important. And Des and I have been speaking about this basically for the whole time we've been doing this show, is that, you know, if you don't enjoy what you're doing, then maybe it's not an option for you. It's something, you know, there's plenty of bucket list things we say, oh, that would be nice, or something that'd be something good to try out, and we never get to it. And my example is always with the guitar, because I was so sure I was going to be playing the acoustic guitar that I bought it, and I bought the music lessons, and I was always at the gym when I was supposed to check into the music lesson, and I was like, well, something's got to give. And I said, it ain't going to be the gym. So, you know, it's good that you found that, and it didn't take too much away from what you're saying. You know, basically you're sacrificing you instead of sacrificing the needs of the family, and that's what I'm respecting and appreciating you talking about. Because, you know, we have a lot of people that love natural bodybuilding. God knows we do. But a lot of them don't ever plan to step on stage. They just love and admire what you guys are doing. So when you're telling them that, that gets them through the gym so they're not basically making the gym the end-all, be-all. I mean, like, even the people that are incredibly passionate about it still find that balance to have a life outside of it. And I think that's where the murky water is for the people that are still getting into it and where they sometimes slip up and make the choice of doing enhanced drugs. So kudos to what you're doing.
Appreciate
and great
it.
Job
appreciate
how you're
it.
Going about it. And I'll pass it back to Des, and we'll get back to the show.
All right. Awesome. So I know a couple of you had a question wondering where the picture of Eric's chest is. Some of you, like, and who knows, maybe some of you guys too. I don't know. But so we always post a promo spot with a link to the show. It's on P4P Entertainment, that Facebook page. It's on the Midwest Muscle page. I also have it on my personal page under Desiree Fletcher Carruthers. So there's a picture of Eric there, and I think it's a pretty decent picture of him from the front. You've got the whole chest, core. He's in a standard physique pose, doing a good job at it. So check that out. Or go on Facebook and Google Eric Murphy. A lot of his – I'm sorry, Eric, I'm going to invite the world to come check out your page. I hope you don't mind. But he's got several of his competition photos out there. So you'll be able to see what he's got going on out there. And then Brenda wants to know, Eric, how long you have been exercising or working out, strength training, not just for competition, but just in general?
Let's see. What year was that? Like 2005 was when I started lifting weights. It was I joined the military. I got sent overseas. And my supervisor was like, you are small. We're going to get some weight on you. Was pretty much like what he said, because I came in like 120. I was 5'11", like 120 pounds coming into the military.
Oh, good gravy, man. Yes, you were a little stick.
Hey. Yeah,
so he.
Hey.
Well.
I can't
call him olive oil. I'll hop or stick.
He took me to the gym, and then I started gaining weight, and then I was just addicted after that. So I just been lifting probably the first 10 years or so, maybe 8 years incorrectly, until I started researching and studying and really understanding, like, how to lift weights.
So awesome. Well, and I'm glad. So you were lifting weights as you said, incorrectly for several years. I mean, how did you discover that's actually what you were doing?
Like very few people who would come up to somebody in a gym and be like, hey, look, man, you're doing that completely wrong. That's what happened to me. It was like I was lifting in the gym. I forgot if it was like bent over rows or deadlifts or something like that. And he was a pro bodybuilder, and he was like, hey, man, you're doing too much. You need to focus on the muscles. And he kind of just talked me, just a little small talk, and got my head spinning for a little bit and had me just literally going back and started researching from there. But he was like, yo, you're completely doing that wrong, which after research, I was. So that's what it was. So normally, like, when I see people doing something incorrectly, I literally sit there and I'm like, should I tell them that they're doing that incorrectly?
Yes, you should.
You know, and it, but you know, some people's body is different. Some people feel weights different as they're lifting. So I might go and be like, hey, you're doing that wrong. They'd be like, ah, I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to feel, this is how I feel this muscle. So, you know.
Man, that's a lie, but yeah, I'm glad you basically just did your part and then walked away from it, because it's not worth having an argument in the gym.
Yep. So. But
Go ahead.
Yeah, like every time I see it, I sit there and I ask myself, should I really go tell them? Or should I really go tell somebody? And I kind of think back to when I was younger. I wish somebody would have told me a lot sooner that I was doing something incorrect.
So
yeah,
true.
And there you go.
Oh, my good.
So
yeah.
Have you always handled your own training, or did you start working with a coach at some point?
No coaches. Once I really started saying, like, I want to compete, which a pro told me, like, I had the symmetry and physique to do physique, and I should look into it. So that's when I kind of started researching, and then I started looking into diets and researching diets and trial and error with diets. And then tweaked and started really focusing on feeling and contracting the muscles is what I started doing in the weight. Hardest part was nutrition, because I love to eat. Anybody who tells me, like, oh, I love to eat, I would do that, but I love to eat. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you don't eat more than me. It's a fact.
Right?
I'm 100% sure they probably don't eat more than me. It's just the will and determination and self-control is all you need. So.
And you know, that's basically what it comes down to, but I think that's the one thing that keeps people away from the gym. But, you know, the interaction does change that mentality, and I'm glad that you feel a need to speak up, even though you don't do it as much as you want to. But, you know, that'll come in time, because I've done it to where I've asked people straight up, you know, are you trying to kill the person, and, you know, do you have a death wish on their head? Because the form or the way they're teaching is so bad. You know, I think the worst one I've seen is the when you have the couple and the guy is basically exerting his back and his biceps so bad just to make the woman feel like she's doing something good on a bench press. I'm thinking, you know, when you're not here and she tries to lift that, then she's basically going to end up in the board. And it's something you really have to factor in, because as much as we might enjoy weights, they're very dangerous when you're not handling them correctly. And it's easy. It's very easy to get an injury. Now, you said that you started back in the military, and the guy came up and was speaking. Now, did he say it in a way that really kind of just embarrassed you? Because, you know, it's a lot of egos in the gym. It's a lot of pride in the gym.
Yeah.
We're all trying to improve. And when we see a little bit of improvement, we see it way more than everybody else will. So, you know, how did you feel and how did you take it? Because I know we have a lot of newbie listeners that are basically learning how to lift as well. So just talk a little bit about that so they can understand that they're not alone in their thinking.
Yeah, so when he told me, I was acceptive of it. It wasn't like he came off arrogant or anything like that. It was just, how was it? It was more along the lines like, hey, you might want to have you ever tried it doing it this way type thing? It's far more beneficial. You're going to contract the muscle. You'll feel it more. He was even like, here, look, lighten the weight, and then feel the motion, feel the groove, and then tell me if it's better than the other way. It's kind of hard not to say, to not try something when you see, like, the body part on that person that's extremely developed that was on him. I'm pretty sure it was deadlifts. His back was ridiculous. So I tried it, and it helped out, but I don't even do deadlifts anymore now. I do rack pulls.
All right, and I'm just going to go ahead and ask, why is that? Why do you prefer a rack pull over a deadlift, and can you explain what a rack pull is for our listeners?
So rack pull is more so along the lines of if you was doing deadlifts, you can take a squat rack, and then what you're going to do is lift the weight from knee level or right below knee level and do it as though it's a modified deadlift. It's just on a incline level.
Gotcha.
I stopped doing deadlifts simply because I don't want to say like I'm a guy, but like when I'm supposed to do a 5x5 or a 4x12 or something like that, I never do it on deadlifts. It's just whatever is in me, I just want to lift the max amount of reps. And it always hurts my performance like 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. No matter what, I can even try to do deadlifts last or after legs or whatever. I'm still going to try to do like a one rep max. So to not mess up my training program, I do rack pulls because my lower back and my hamstrings don't take too much of a beating, and I'm still able to just continue to progress because I hit back like 3 times a week and I hit legs 2 to 3 times a week.
Wow.
Gotcha. There you go. And so, folks, I'm just going to say, you know, different folks for different strokes, and you do have to find what works best for you in your routine. But I do like, and not that I dislike what he said, but what I'm trying to say is I do like the fact that he's pointed out that he does work a given body part more than once in a week, which you can do and can be beneficial. So I know for a long time, it's, you know, always been we're going to hit one body part once a week, and that's the routine, and that's all we're going to do. Yes, Kaylin?
I said Coach Chad. That was a nice segue.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So, but, yeah, that line of thinking, you can move beyond it. That does work for some folks, you know, but for other folks, you're going to have to work a given body part more than once a week because genetically that may just be what your body needs in order to achieve the look that you are wanting to grow to. So there you have it there.
Yes.
Chad, I am going to digress. So Chad Adamovich, P4P Muscle, he has a weekly series on Facebook where he's giving out strength training tips based on the research. And over the next 5 weeks, he's going to be talking about hypertrophy training. So check him out at P4P Signature Series if you guys are interested in that. So very knowledgeable. We've had him on the podcast before, so just a little side plug there. But I'm going to get back to Eric now. So we've already established that you don't work with a coach, but yet your posing is pretty spot on. And so Mike wants to know, how much time do you take in a given week or over a prep to practice posing?
Let's see. So anywhere between, like, I'm in the off season, so I still practice posing in between, like, workout sets, especially, like, my compound movement. I'm spending about 30 seconds rest, so in between there, I practice just like minor poses here and there as I get about 8 weeks out. It's normally like 10 minutes in the mirror before getting into the shower. 4 weeks out is at least 20, 30 minutes or so going over routines. And then as I get closer and closer, I just sit there and go over mandatory poses. And then 4 weeks out, at least about, I do a five-minute rotation facing forward, just holding it. And then I'll do like a 30-second quarter turn, 30-second quarter turn for like 10 minutes. And then I'll get in the shower. 2 weeks out, I normally do a little bit of bodybuilding poses too. I add in there for about 5 minutes just to kind of keep my muscles full and hard, and then I'll just go through the same rotation. So within about 4 weeks, it's like 30 minutes to 45.
Wow. Yeah, that, I mean, especially after being on the world, that came in handy, no doubt.
Yeah, that was
– go ahead.
I say, yeah, that was pretty rough right there. But I swear it was going to be – normally I would, like, maybe catch, like, a cramp or my lips would get extremely dry, but I was – during the Worlds, it wasn't bad. Like, I didn't catch a cramp. My lips wasn't chapped, you know. It was just, and I wasn't sweating. Like, yeah, I had good lighting. So the lighting wasn't, like, killing my tan, so I was pretty good.
Yeah, and Keith does a good job. And, you know, when you got John and Becky in the mix, they're going to take care of the competitors. So that's great to know, and this is why we always speak well of these promoters, because they do such a fine-tuning job of taking care of you guys. But I'm going to go back on, and we're going to talk about something that you brought up, and that was with your different style of lifting. And a lot of people don't understand where you were going with that, but I'm going to bring it home so they have a better understanding. And that comes to, you know, I think back in the day, everything was basically bodybuilding mentality, but the powerlifting was basically what everybody was doing, and we were trying to get PRs, and I remember when people were losing 10, 15 pounds, and they're still trying to keep their weight up and basically either getting injured or getting somewhere strained where the workouts suffered. You were tailoring your workouts to basically fit what you were trying to do on stage, and I think that's where a lot of the growth has happened in the sports, is that the competitors are now more knowledgeable and not using the outdated ways of thinking and training to get to where they need to be. So, you know, how much has that played a role with what you're doing, and how far have you come with where you started to where you are now with understanding the sport as a whole?
When I first started, I had that typical mindset. It was, I need to lose weight. I need to increase my reps. I need more reps to burn more fat. And biggest mistake right there. And I learned my lesson. And it was like, I read a paper like right after the show. But it was to the point where I was doing like four sets of 20 of that, or four sets of 15, which gave my body not a whole lot of use to like want to hold on to the muscle that I had built in the off season. So, but trial and error, and as time went on, I kind of understood that I needed to give my body and my muscles a reason to hold on to as much muscle as possible. So I kind of incorporate strength training / hypertrophy training into my regimen. And as I tend to cut down and then I see my body shaping, I tend to focus on like more lagging parts. So when I did the Kansas City, the International, I saw like my rear delts wasn't as up as I wanted them. My arms wasn't as full as I wanted them. So going into the pro, the Worlds, I did an additional day of rear delts, an additional day of arms. But arms was like on my like refeed day type of thing. So I guess, like, over time, you kind of learn more and more tricks, and talking to people, you kind of get more ideas, and listen at podcasts, you kind of get ideas, and you do trial and error. If it works, you kind of write it down in your book, hey, this worked. But for whatever reason, I don't know what it is about peak week, but people change everything during peak week, and I really don't change that much during peak week.
Yep. I mean, and that's – and you shouldn't have to, really. I mean, to go extreme during peak week is an indication that you just might not be as ready as you thought you were.
Yeah, you
were. So –
yeah.
And so it is true. And you know, our listener, I don't know what's going on tonight, if we're sharing brainwaves or not, but I know Greg, Caitlin, that last question you had, Greg was out there thinking the same thing, so I'm glad that we got that out there and that Eric got a chance to address it. But along those lines, Eric, so you were talking about listening to podcasts, air quotes right there, mm-hmm. and getting some ideas on different things you can do with your workout. And so I think James is thinking along the same line as you are, again, sharing the brainwaves, because he's wondering if you would mind sharing what one of your chest routines is like with our group here.
Yeah, chest routine. So I have two different chest routines. One of them starts off with the compound movement, which is always incline chest press or Smith machine incline chest press. And it'll normally be, depending on if it's the first compound incline, it could be five sets of six or four sets of five, followed by dumbbell chest press, which is typically like the normal that you see in magazines, from four sets of 8 to 12, and then what I'll do is I'll pick a weight I can hit. I think I can hit 12 with, but if I hit 12, I just don't stop. So I'll hit 12, but then I'll do two more sets, but they're going to be a little bit slower, a little bit more controlled. I just don't pick a number and then go to that number and then stop. Then I'll just increase it till I get to 8 reps, go over to flat bench machine press for about the same thing, about four sets of 8 to 12, followed by another incline Smith machine press or a hammer strength machine press incline. After that, it ends up being I do like a, I guess you'd call it like 5 by 30. So I do cable flies, 10 incline, 10 regular, and then 10 decline for 5 sets. And then after that, followed by burnout or push-up. The second chest would start off with all flies. So the same way I did it, the 5x30 or maybe 4x30. But if I got a good pump, I might do 7. I might even do 8 sets of it, followed by the push-ups, then pullovers, and then followed by the regular dumbbells and hammer strength machine presses and dips.
Gotcha. Hey, Caitlin, are you still?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Thank you. Are you still here? Okay, I know you were dealing with some technical things in the back scene, but I just wanted to have you real quickly, because we are starting to run short on time here, explain to our folks what a compound movement is.
Oh, my goodness, yes. That's where you basically, you take the muscle and challenge it to a point where it's going to work effectively and also to its max, if he's talking around the same way that I'm thinking. Is that what you're covering, Eric?
Yes. So you're the typical, you know, bench press, deadlifts, rack pulls, barbell curls, close grip bench press, and then
mm-hmm.
I exert as much energy as possible on those heavy fundamental movements first.
There you go.
Okay, there you got it, folks. So hopefully, I know when I was starting to lift and learning all these things, I'm like, a compound what? What am I doing? What? So
it works.
We'll try to always. I'm sorry. You broke up on that one on me. I didn't quite hear what you said.
Okay. I said it works well for Chris Salgado too. He does a lot of compound movements, and you've seen what he and Terrence Terrell have been doing over the year. They're really seeing a lot of progress by using that technique.
Yeah, there you go. And you guys, you can always Google it too. So if you're looking for more information on how compound movements can help improve your workouts, you know, definitely do check that out or message us and ask questions, and we're happy to explain more. Back to you, Eric. And since we were talking about Eric's chest, all I am going to say is that people are finding your picture and are impressed with the muscle that you've been developing, so much so that Kaylin's computer crashed because of all the comments. So I'm just going to let that go there to know that your hard work is definitely not going unnoticed. And along those lines, now we're going to switch over to the nutrition aspect of it. Bryce wants to know how you can eat so much and keep your waist so lean.
Oh, during
and kind of define for us, when you say you eat a lot, I mean, how much is a lot?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a two-part question there.
There you go.
Okay, so I'm still reverse dieting right now, but I'm still hungry, and I'm eating, what's my fitness? I think it's 3,600 calories right now, but I'm still extremely hungry, so I'm throwing a whole bunch of vegetables and still – until I can hopefully make it to about 5,500 or so. But when I say I eat a lot, I'm eating during prep season, I eat about 6 to 7 meals a day. Right now, I'm still eating about 6 to 7 meals, but each meal is a good about 40 to 50 grams of carbs in it, and about 6 to 7 ounces of some type of protein. So, like, when I say I eat a lot, like, think about a Thanksgiving plate and eating two full plates and still wanting some dessert or something like that.
All right. So with eating all of that, with eating all of that, then how are you keeping your waist so lean?
I'm reverse dieting right now, so. Like, I haven't got into the eating. So I just eat to kind of like my macros and hoping soon that my weight kind of doesn't really go up that much this week. And then I can add another 200 calories or so of carbs next week.
Gotcha. So, Bryce, I hope that answers your question. If not, shoot us another note back, and we will take another crack at it. But, yeah, I want to eat that many calories. I would never be in a bikini if I ate that many calories, but I want to eat that many calories, let's just say. That's going to be my goal, to be in a bikini and eat that many calories. But that's a lot of vegetables, folks. I mean, I don't know if you really know, you know, if you hear somebody say, you know, I'm having a cup of broccoli, you're like, oh my gosh, what, a cup of broccoli? But if you really look at, you know, if you have 1 to 2 cups of broccoli on your plate, plus another cup of green beans, plus another cup of, you know, say something else, I mean, that's pretty much a whole plate full of vegetables right there. I mean, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but it can fill a plate, and then you add your protein to that in the mix. I mean, you know, that just like they say, when you eat clean, you can eat a whole heck of a lot more. So
yes,
it may not be as fun as the monster cookies, but you get to eat a lot more of it.
Stop that. Be nice.
Hey, I was talking about the monster cookies for myself. You know, the cookie monster is my spirit animal. Yours is the donut monster. That's your spirit animal. But mine is the cookie monster. It just is. And, yeah, I know sugar and all that's bad, bad, bad. I know. But I do like a good cookie, especially a good monster cookie. But
it's donut.
Anyway, oh, yeah, donut. Yeah, I could say no to a donut for a cookie, but I know someone else who might not be as not be able to do that.
Could not. I would.
But that's okay. We all have our. We all have our weaknesses. So anyway, now that I've got us totally off track. I apologize, folks. I'm pulling it back in. Eric, whenever we get the chance or we have enough time, we like to give our guests the opportunity to give shout outs to anyone and everyone who has been supportive of them along their bodybuilding journey. And I would like to give you that opportunity right now.
Okay. So, you know, first, most importantly, my wife, because if I don't and she played it back, I probably won't wake up tomorrow. So, most definitely, my wife. I love you, baby. If you're listening to this, hugs and kisses and all of that, you know. So, make her happy first. Next would be most definitely my sponsor, Supplement World. They've been with me from the beginning. All the advice on all the new supplements. They do all the research to make sure all the supplements I'm taking is not on the ban list, and they've pretty much just been extremely supportive throughout the whole bodybuilding journey. My workout partner, Brian, he just turned pro actually like last month in Miami in NPC. So without him pushing me, telling me don't be no punk, you got another rep, you know, maybe I wouldn't have got them extra gains in my chest that everybody seems
no
to
more
see.
Talk about your chest.
Huh?
I said no more talk about your chest.
Well, hopefully it'll be about my back next year. So hopefully it'll be a lot of talk about.
Yeah,
but,
I just don't want to crash before the night ends. Oh my. Oh, go ahead, Eric.
Oh nah. And my recent sponsors, Flawless Fitness. They're a military-owned company, and they provide personal training advice and nutrition and everything like that. So much love and much respect to all my sponsors and my wife.
Wow. Well done. And, you know, I'm glad that you have a chance to do that, and it is so important, and Des and I have talked about it. We've actually had some guests on to talk about, you know, we've actually had the support side on where they were talking as well about how important it is and how vital it is to that balance and to keeping your head and, you know, not basically getting too high up or getting too far down, because we cover the gambit and the spectrum when we're doing prep. And, you know, and until you can actually go through a prep, you don't understand the mental workout that you get. I'll say it like that. But Eric, you've done a great job of finding that harmony and that balance, and we definitely look forward to seeing you on stage again. And obviously our listeners are looking, period, because, yeah, we won't go anywhere. So, you know, ladies, I know you're in love with this man's chest, and it is the size of a billboard, and they could basically put it on any highway and do whatever they want with it to promote whatever. But let's be respectful. Like you said, he's got a wife and he's got kids and he's trying to balance all that out. So, you know, let's be respectful in that. And let's just stay ladies so he can stay a gentleman. All right, Eric, anything last you want to say?
Nah, there's nothing else. Just ready for really next year.
There you go. Well,
all right.
And get some of those compound workouts in.
I appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, what he said. Thanks again, Eric. And with that, Kaylin, snickerdoodle shout out.
Snickerdoodle, snickerdoodle. Name that protein.
Name that protein. There's still time, folks. Get in on that contest. P for P Signature Series. There you go. So on behalf of Eric Murphy, Kaylin Patterson, myself, and the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With snickerdoodle.